Today's message is one of hope that was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Together, let's unpack some of this teaching from a portion of God's word. Join me in prayer, please. By your Spirit, O Lord, may the truth of your word this day be a light unto our paths and a lamp unto our feet. Amen. At Christmas, we celebrate a baby born in a manger. Luke 2:7 says, and I quote, "And Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." 2,000 years later, that baby is still drawing attention. Some want to get close to him. Some are not sure about him. And some would rather keep him at arm's length. But everybody has an interest in that baby. That's what Christmas is all about, a baby in a manger. So today, let's look at that baby in the manger, who really is. In our scripture, the ancient prophet Isaiah revealed some of his names: Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Each of these names points to a different aspect of who Jesus is. In the interest of time, I'll focus on the names in the middle: Mighty God, Everlasting Father. These four words remind us of what Jesus offers every one of us this Christmas. You see, friends, he is the mighty God. Look at this word mighty for a moment. It reminds me, and I trust it'll remind you, and the outline that you have before you says, "See the power in the manger." There was a new strength born into our world at Christmas. It was the kind of strength that can bring victory over life's battles. In Luke chapter 1, 35 tells us this strength was a part of Christmas from the very beginning. The angel told Mary, and I quote once again, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Question: what is the greatest battle you're facing right now, today, December 10th? Maybe it's a relationship battle or a circumstance you can't change, or a temptation that you just can't seem to say no to. Maybe it's a depression you just can't simply shake. Christmas is all about looking into the manger and seeing in that baby the power to make a difference. All about hearing Jesus say, "You can win that battle. You can say no to that temptation. You can have a better relationship. You can see God either change that circumstance or work through that circumstance in your life. You can shake that depression with the help of Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 also tells us that God is, quote, "able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine." Imagine. "According to his power that is at work within us." I might choose to draw power from my abilities, or from the way others affirm me, or from some past achievement. But what happens when they fall short? Fall short. Nothing compares to the power we have in Christ. So, The question begs to be asked, what do you need strength for this Christmas? Where do you most need God's power in your life? I challenge you to live this Christmas 2017 and the new year ahead, 2018, allowing God's power to work in your life and see what kind of difference it makes. He is mighty. He is mighty. There's a second word. And that word reminds me of something else we need to see at Christmas. He is the mighty God, which reminds me to, in your outline, see the glory. See the glory in the manger. That word glory means the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God, that he's bigger and better than anything and everything else. People in the Old Testament saw his glory when he split the sea in two. They saw God in a pillar of fire. They saw God in the earthquake. We still see God's glory today. Psalm 19:1 tells us, and I quote once again, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." The creation reminds us of his glory. But what happened at Christmas far, far outshadows the miracles in the Old Testament. It far outshines the stars or the mountains. We look at that manger and find God in a baby. God in a baby. God himself wrapped in human flesh. He who is the creator became a creature. And he who is eternal allowed himself to be bound by time. He who is infinite allowed himself to be bound by space as a microscopic cell in a woman's womb. He who was sovereign God became dependent on a man and a woman for food and clothing. He who is clothed in majesty was born in a cattle trough. And he who had spoken whole galaxies into existence had to communicate through a baby's cry. A baby's cry. The God of the universe. The God of the universe became a baby. Question. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? He did it because he loves you. He loves us. He did it because he wants us to know how much he loves us and how much he understands what we go through. He did it to die for our sins on a cross, so that we could have peace with God, so that we could have a relationship with God. He did it to overcome the sting of sin and death once and for all through the power, that word again, of the resurrection. That's big, friends. That's really big. It puts everything else into perspective. So think about it for a moment. This Christmas, I need, Dennis, put your name in there, a bigger perspective on, think about it. Where do you need to climb out from under the details to get a bigger perspective on what God is doing? Maybe the details for you are in financial strain or a relationship struggle. Or an internal struggle. Maybe you're thinking, I can't do this. I really can't do this. This problem is too big. It's absolutely too big. It's bigger than I am. And you know something, friends? You may be right. You may be absolutely right. It may be bigger than you, but I promise you one thing. It is not. And I think you know where I'm going with this. It is not bigger than God. And when you realize who He really is at Christmas, it puts everything into perspective. The mighty God. The mighty God. He is also the everlasting Father. And that word everlasting reminds me that at Christmas, I, Dennis, want to bow down before that manger and really look. And point number three, if you're following your outline, see the hope. See the hope in the manger. Birth brings hope, doesn't it, friends? You look at a new baby and you wonder, maybe, just maybe, she's going to discover a cure for cancer. Or maybe he's going to be president someday. Who knows? Who knows? That brings hope. That brings hope. Jesus' birth brings hope. I say it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 speaks about this hope when it says, and I quote one more time, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes, yes, in Jesus." Jesus was born into this world to say yes to every promise that God has given in His Word. God already made them, or you can say God declared them, and Jesus affirmed them. God declared them, Jesus affirmed them. God guarantees us salvation. The answer is yes. God promises heaven. Jesus came to say yes, that's true. God promised us an abundant life on earth. Jesus came to say yes. Yes, that's true. That's the hope, friends. That's the hope. The eternal hope that came into our world at Christmas. When we are missing hope in our lives, we need to look at that manger. Need to look at that manger. You know, in a group this size, no doubt someone here today maybe feels a little hopeless. You're feeling trapped, like there's no way out, maybe, no answer. I want you to know that there is at least perhaps maybe one person in this room who has been through a situation where they felt maybe as hopeless as you are feeling right now. And yet they saw God resurrect hope in their heart. In their heart. So if you're feeling a sense of hopelessness right now, I encourage you, bring that hopeless situation to the manger. To the manger. And find in Christ the hope that is in Him. Let me put that thought in another way. Don't let a temporary circumstance keep me, from seeing the everlasting hope that God wants to offer you. That circumstance that you're facing, yes, it will go away someday, maybe in a few weeks, maybe in a few months, maybe it'll linger for the rest of your life here on earth. I don't know the answer to that. But someday it will go away. And God has an eternity of hope that's waiting for you. Trust that God will be there during difficult times. Finally, He's the everlasting Father. The word Father reminds us that when we look at Jesus in the manger, we need to, and the fourth point on your outline is this, see the love in the manger. There's a baby that's also a father. That's the mystery of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All God, all equal. It's also a reminder shouting to us from the manger that God loves us. God loves you. You put in your name there. Since we're soon to be in the season of bowl games, let's freshen up together on John 3:16, which is in your bulletin. And in case you see John 3:16 on some fan sign, I invite you now to say it with me, if you know it. And you'll see it printed there in your bulletin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that's, friends, what Christmas is all about. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. In Jesus, God gave us eternal life. All that he asks is that we accept the gift he's given us. Once you've accepted his love into your life and made a commitment to it, that love will never, never let you go. That's a love that will help you to love others who at times may not be that lovable. So Christmas without Christ makes for a pretty empty celebration. What do you think? It's like a beautiful wrapped box with absolutely nothing inside. Christ was there at the first Christmas, and Christ is what Christmas is all about. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. Say amen, someone.